Give the handout to you in the very first session itself, but mostly we'll be discussing about Dashamool, a kind of a exercise, kind of, so that we can get acquainted with our style of learning in the first session till 2:30, and then have a brief history of what is Dashamool and what is the purpose of doing it, why it's important, what is necessary, and all, and then we'll go into the subject matter from our second session from today onwards. So, this subject Dashamool, or this word Dashamula, it's very interesting. One of the acharyas is giving a nice commentary onto this word Mula. Mula has got two meanings. Mula means a source, the fair, the thing everything comes from, its source, and Mula has got another meaning, that is a root. But here, the root refers not to just the root. It refers to the roots of the plants, etc., or the herbs. Generally, if you go to an Ayurvedic doctor with some disease, what does he give you? Some herbs he'll give you, some roots he'll give you, some mula. Use some mulas, by which your disease will go away. So these dasamulas are something so important, so essential for a devotee. It says that these dasamulas are 10 roots or 10 medicinal herbs given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur so that we can cure our disease of material existence. It's interesting, we are seeing it, this word mula. So now this dasha means 10, mula means 10 aspects of our philosophy. Now, going to the history of it, how and where it starts from? It starts from the very subject matter of the Vedic philosophy itself. When the Vedic philosophy was presented to Brahma, and through different sources and different sampradayas, they all became very expanded. It became so vast that what to read, what to find out from there, it became very difficult for people. Like, for example, you are thrown into ocean and then you don't know what you want to get out of this ocean. You put a diving dress, a scuba diving dress, and you're dived into it. Once you're dived into the ocean, you should know why you are dived for, what the purpose of it, what you are to find out. So, in one sense, we have dived into the ocean of Vedic literatures. Now, what are the objects to be known? If you don't know that, then what will happen? We'll land up in getting those objects which are not the primary things, and consider it to be the primary things, like dharma, artha, kama and moksha. That is why Chaitanya Charitamrita starts with a very important word, Tamo Nudau. Why did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu come? He wanted people to deliver from the science of material existence. What is that tamas? Dharma Artha Kama Moksha. Dharma Projita Kaita Votra Paramo Nirmatsaranam Satam Vedyam. From all the Vedas, what is to be known? That has to be known first. If all the Vedas, what has to be known, if that is not known, you ready read any Vedic literature, you'll land up into a big problem, misunderstanding. That is why before teaching any scripture or any philosophy, first the object to be known, that is being revealed. If the object to be known is not revealed, then we'll read so many things and then conclude so many different things. That is why Srila Prabhupada used to say, before knowing Bhagavad Gita, you should know this thing. Vedescha sarveir ahameva vedyo. I am to be known from all the Vedas. What is to be known from the Bhagavad Gita? There is a standard way of presenting any book or any subject matter. So if you see the entire Vedic literatures, what is to be known from there? Technically, the objects to be known, they are known as prameya. The word prameya means prameya. Means prakrishta rupena miya, are those things which are supposed to be known, especially to be known, means very distinctively to be known. There may be so many subjects which you can know. Like for example, if you read Bhagavad Gita, we can be a very good manager. You can know management from Bhagavad Gita. You can know Sanskrit from Bhagavad Gita. You can know so many things from Bhagavad Gita. But what is the exclusive and special subject to be known? That is Krishna. So before we enter into a book, we should know what is the subject matter of the book. In the same way, when we are entering into the ocean of Vedic literatures, what is the subject matter? What are the things to be known in the Vedic literatures? Of course, there is only one subject matter. That is Krishna. Adyecha madyecha antyecha sarvatra harergiyate. Shripad Madhvacharya's favorite shloka. He is a person who actually brought out this shloka and practically he destroyed all the Mayavadis with this one verse. Because in Vedic literatures you find there is a description of glorification of Durga. You find the glorification of Ganesha. You find glorification of so many demigods. Well, first Rigveda, very famous Rigveda, the very first verse or the mantra, it's glorifying Agni. Agni mile puroitam yajnasitevan. How is it so? And how can you know Krishna? Big confusion. What to speak of that? Narada says, this is the, after writing all entire Veda, Vyasa was dissatisfied. We know that. Then Narada's main point to Vyasa is, in spite of writing all these things, you're dissatisfied. And you think that you've done a big thing, actually you confuse people. So, how to get out of confusion? Even Vyasa himself was confused till Narada came. What was the reason? The reason was, these pramayas were not known. These nine pramayas were not known. Now, Narada, he gave these pramayas in a very subtle way to Vyasa, based on which he wrote Bhagavatam. So when Bhagavatam was written, then all the confusions which were there in the Vedas got solved. All the confusions, wherever, whatever confusions were there, they were all completely solved only when Vyasa wrote Bhagavatam, not even Vedanta Sutras. Because before writing Bhagavatam, Vyasa had already compiled Vedanta Sutras. That is why Narada tells Vyasa, Jignyasitam iditam cha brahma yattat sanatanam tatapi suchas yatmanaha akritartaiva prabhu. Oh, brahma yattat sanatanam, you have discussed the cause and effect of related subject matter of Brahman in a very elaborate way in the Brahma Sutras, in the Vedanta Sutras. Even after that, tatapi sochasyatmana, tatapi means what? Even though you have done that, you are dissatisfied. And this word tatapi is a very interesting word. Tatapi means even though, in spite of that. So in other words, Narada told, in spite of doing anything in this world, what to speak of writing the entire Veda, building a big building or doing something or climbing the Mount Everest, going to the moon, in spite of doing all these things, tatapi sochasyatmanaha. What will happen? They will be disgusted. Until unless they come to Bhagavatam. So this is where the Vedic literatures, the confusion in the Vedic literatures was solved. That is why since you are doing Bhakti Vaibhav, the most important of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, if at all is there, the level of sadhana, those who are philosophically inclined, is the 5th and the 6th chapter of Bhagavatam. 1st canto, 5th and 6th chapter. If somebody has mastered that, fifth and sixth chapters of Bhagavatam, most of beautiful verses which Narada speaks to Vyasa, then you understood like Bhagavatam. What is Bhagavatam you understood? Then you can enter. Actually, Bhagavatam is not a subject matter to be understood. It's subject matter to be relished. But because it is Rasamalaya. And how can this Rasamalaya be understood? Like a mother is loving the child. Somebody says, oh, the mother has understood the child. It is like saying what you say. What is this? Mother has understood the child. No. Mother is experiencing the loving relation with the child, isn't it? So this is a question of understanding. So now how is that we can dive into the nectar of Bhagavatam when we understand what is Bhagavatam? So that understanding comes from the 5th and 6th chapter, Narada Vyasa Samvad. That is where these pramayas were cleared to Vyasa. Because Vyasa wrote all the things, but he was not clear what to know. What to be known, what should be known from these Vedic literatures. So it is only clear when Vyasa met Narada, then in that conversation these pramayas come up. Now, after that, entire thing got over. Vyasa wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam. When Vyasa wrote Srimad Bhagavatam, that is the time when Vyasa himself was totally satisfied. Samadhi Navastitaha, he is sat in Samadhi. And then in Samadhi means Vyasa, he saw. Whatever he saw in Samadhi, in trance, that is what Vyasa wrote as Bhagavatam. And now, Bhakti Yoga Namanasi Samyak Pranite Emale, Apashyat Purusham Purnam, Tad Mayanta Pashitam Apashrayam. Very famous verse from Bhagavatam, 7th chapter, 1st canto. As soon as Narada left, whatever Narada instructed Vyasa, what was the instruction he gave? You go to Samadhi and contemplate the Supreme Lord. So then Vyasa went to Samadhi and he started contemplating on the Supreme Lord. Then what happened? Bhakti Yoga Namanasi Samyak Pranite Amale. Amale. Pure devotional service he started doing. He's actually in the Prema Bhakti. He attained Prema Bhakti. Vyasa, because of the association of Narada, he attained Prema Bhakti. In that Prema Bhakti, he saw. Whatever he saw in the trance, Vyasa went on writing. Vyasa did not write Bhagavatam by his intelligence, nor by thinking, I should write this verse after that, this verse after that. No, I should quote this verse. No, nothing like that. Whatever came in his spiritual ecstasy, that is what he actually wrote in Bhagavatam. That is why in Bhagavatam you find that there is a kind of there's like no connection sometimes. Some words, immediately some pastime comes, two pastimes together. All these things you'll find. Why? Because Vyasa was actually not in normal consciousness. He was in transcendental consciousness, in prema platform. In prema, like a maddened person, he was just seeing something, went on writing Bhagavatam. So that Bhagavatam actually solved all the problems. Now, Bhagavatam is also very vast. 18,000 verses. Now, the history of Dashamul goes like this. After Bhagavatam, now for so many years, practically how many years? Many, many years. You may say almost 4,500 years, 4,000 years you may say. There's a great confusion again. Buddhism came, so many things came. Like havoc was there in the philosophical field within this country. And also around the world. And that is the time Sripad Madhvacharya appeared. Now Sripad Madhvacharya's appearance is described in the Madhva books like this. The demigods, they all went to the Supreme Lord Narayana and then started praying. Oh Lord, you gave the Vedas. But now the Vedas are being misinterpreted by the Asuras. Especially there was one demon called Maniman who was killed by Bhima. This Maniman demon, he appeared again. And then he entered into the consciousness of Shankara, Shankaracharya. And then he made this Mayavad philosophy. Actually Mayavad philosophy was there before. But Shankaracharya, he presented the Mayavad philosophy in such a logical way that everybody thought something wrong is perfect. Just imagine, to prove something wrong to be absolutely perfect, you require so much of intelligence. Shankara, Shankara Sakshat. He is Shankaracharya, Shankaracharya, Shankara himself, Lord Shiva himself. Now he presented the philosophy in such a way, whole Vaishnava philosophy was just thrown to some corners. Hardly people were practicing it. Then Devas went to Narayan and prayed. Then the Lord called Vayu. Vayu Mukhya Prana. So Madhvacharya is Mukhya Prana. Why we are talking about Madhvacharya? Because we are talking about, suppose to talk about Dashamul, then why are you talking about Madhvacharya? Because that is the root. If you are talking about Dashamul, we should know the root of the Dashamul, isn't it? Like once, Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote one very nice, wonderful book. That is Vaishnava Siddhanta Mala. In Vaishnava Siddhanta Mala is like question answers. Like you have these days FAQ, frequently asked questions, FAQs. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted to establish this Namhat everywhere. So that is his program. So then for that he made a flyer. In that flyer, he wrote this book or a small introduction to the entire Namhat program. In that, one of the flyers was this, FAQs at that time, that is, Vaishnava Siddhanta Mala. And Vaishnava Siddhanta Mala is actually considered to be a very, very precise way of presenting the philosophy. Somebody asks question, immediately answer that. Then somebody asks question, what is the philosophy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Then Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur immediately said, the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is as told by Sripad Madhvacharya in his Navaprameyas. Directly as told. So now, we find that how Navaprameyas are the basis of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Dashamul. So let us talk about Madhvacharya, how he got this Navaprameyas and how he made this thing. So then what happened? Madhvacharya appeared because Lord told Vayu, you appear. And then gave him a specific instruction. The specific instruction is, you establish the distinction between the Supreme Lord and living entity, the Supreme Lord and the material world, the Supreme Lord the living entity and the material nature, and the living entity and the living entity, material nature or matter and matter. So this is known as Panchabeda. So this Panchabeda Siddhanta was originally spoken by Lord himself to Madhvacharya. Why? This Panchabeda means five distinctions. We all know, those who attended Bhakti Shastri, I was taught during that time. You remember? Bhakti Panchabeda. You have matter, spirit and controller. Within these three, you have the distinctions. There is a matter distinction, matter-spirit distinction, and there is matter-ishwara, the Lord distinction, and then you have the jiva-jiva-bheda, that means spirit-spirit distinction, the living entity-living entity distinction, and you have the living entity and the Supreme Lord distinction. So that was a specific reason why Madhvacharya appeared, because that was the fundamental distinction between Mayavada and Vaishnava philosophy, because Mayavada, they don't see any distinction, they see Sarvam Kaluidam Brahman. Of course, there is a Vaishnava interpretation for that also. But they find everything is just one. Anything other than this is Maya. That is their philosophy. So Sripad Madhvacharya had to come and establish that Panchaveda Siddhanta. Now Sripad Madhvacharya, of course, appeared in so many pastimes and all these things are there. He appeared in Padakshetra and Irudupi and all these things are there. But when was the point when Sripad Madhvacharya established his Panchaveda Siddhanta? After getting sannyas, Sripad Madhvacharya went to south for preaching. Of course, he was born in south. Still went south. From Udupi went to south. That means Kerala he went. When he was going to Kerala, on the way there is one place called Kasaragod. There one place is Vishnumangala. The deity is there. He prayed to the deity that, how am I going to establish? The Lord has told me. You have told me that you have to establish. But how to establish this philosophy, this principle? Then the Lord blessed him and told, then instructed how to establish this thing. You have to establish this Panchabeda Siddhanta based on Srimad Bhagavatam. So Sripad Madhvacharya started speaking on Srimad Bhagavatam in Kerala, and that is where he gave elaborate discourses on this Panchabeda Siddhanta. When he was giving elaborate discourses on Panchabeda Siddhanta, then the Keralites are real, little extremes. They are very intelligent. But their intelligence may go to very high level of crooked nature also. So they were posing very difficult questions to Madhvacharya based on this Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana and Panchabeda. Then Madhvacharya had to come back, and then he again prayed to the Lord, what is this you are telling that I have to establish, but there are so many questions which are coming and it is very difficult to convince a person about it. What is the source? What is the way? Then he was advised to go to Badri. Then Madhvacharya went to Badri. Madhvacharya went to Badri twice. First time he went to Badri, met Vyasa there. Of course, it is not this Badri where Madhvacharya went. He went to Uttara Badri. There is a Badri which no ordinary person like us, we cannot go there. Vyasa is staying in Uttara Badri. What we see is the Badri where we can go in this body. Madhvacharya went with all his disciples, and Madhvacharya only could go. All of the disciples stayed there. His disciple Satyatirtha, he wanted to go behind Madhvacharya. But Madhvacharya, he was walking further and this disciple could not even follow along with Madhvacharya. Then he went to Vyasa. He paid obeisance to Vyasa. And there, Vyasa, he instructed Madhvacharya that What are the points you need to explain? You propound the philosophy of Vaishnavism on these 9 principles. He gave an indication. Explain the Pramayas first. And based on that you write your Bhashya, commentaries and all these things. That is the time Madhvacharya, he brought those things and he was coming down south. When he was coming down south, first time Madhvacharya revealed these 9 Pramayas in Pandharpur Dham. We all know this Pandharpur. It's in Maharashtra, Vitthala is there. That is the place Sripad Madhvacharya, he wrote these 9 Pramayas and then gave elaborate lectures to his disciples and people there on 9 Pramayas. That is where this 9 Pramayas come into picture. Now, when 9 Pramayas, this is for Madhvacharya, we end the topic of Madhvacharya's life, because that is where he mentions his 9 Pramayas in a very explicit way. And we will not go to his disciples, how they expanded these 9 Pramayas, like Narahari and Sripada Raghavendra Swami has written one elaborate commentary in these 9 Pramayas. We will not go to that. We will directly come to Baladeva Vidyabhushan Prabhu. Now, Baladeva Vidyabhushan Prabhu has connections with Madhva Sampradaya. He was actually undergoing training in Mysore. He learned the Madhva philosophy there. And then somehow he came to Vrindavan, he came in touch with Vishnu Thakur and all these people, and then he became a Gaudiya. And Baladeva Vidyabhushan Prabhu is known as a Tattvacharya. He is a Tattvacharya, means he is the Acharya for philosophy. Now, Rupa Goswami is a Rasacharya, and Vishnu Thakur is actually, he mixes both Tattva and Rasa. That's why it's a very special combination, Srila Vishwanatha Thakur. He puts Tattva, philosophy, and immediately goes to Rasa. If you read Vishwanatha Thakur's commentary, you'll find both things like going simultaneously, both the rivers, one river of Tattva, philosophy, other river is Rasa. Both goes together very nicely, wonderfully. Now here, Baladeva Vidyabhushan Prabhu, when he wrote Govinda Bhashya, after writing Govinda Bhashya, he found it is necessary that I need to write a commentary on the 9 Pramayas. Because he knew Govinda Bhashya is meant for very intelligent people. And common people cannot understand Vedanta Sutras. And for them, he wrote 9 principles, a commentary from a Ratnavali, stating that this was originally by Madhvacharya and we are followers of Madhva in aspect of philosophy. In this way, Madhvacharya's commentary, like Pramaya Ratnavali was given by Baladeva Vidyabhushan Prabhu. Now, after a few years, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's appearance happened. We all know. Let us see how Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he brought up this Dashamool from Pramaya Ratnavali. First time when Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentioned about Pramaya Ratnavali was in Chaitanya Sikshamrita. First time he mentioned publicly about this Dashamool. When people asked him what is supposed to be known, then he told there are 10 principles. Now the question arises, when Madhvacharya has told 9, when Baladeva Vidyabhushan Prabhu told 9, where did this 10 come from? So, if 10 are there, that means there is something different. If there is difference, what is the difference? If there is no difference, why there is no difference? That is the subject. So, that we will try to discuss at the end of the class, not today. So, in the Chaitanya Sikshamrita, published by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he mentioned this Dashamool and it was a 40-page explanation. In this book, teaching directly following the principles of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Bhaktivinoda Thakur quoted primarily from Chaitanya Charitamrita. This appearance of Dashamool was just the first in the long series of additional publications by Bhaktivinoda Thakur expounding on the same topic. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentioned his first, and then throughout all his books practically, and specifically in some books, he has explained these 10 principles only. Now let us see. Bhaktivinoda Thakur goes further. This Chaitanya Sikshamrita, after writing this, in 1888, during the period when Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Namahatta program of village preaching brought throughout Bengal was in full swing, he published one work entitled Vaishnava Siddhantamala. That means this Chaitanya Shikshamrita was before 1888. Yeah, sorry, it is 1886. So, after 2 years later, Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote one book. What is that called? Vaishnava Siddhantamala. This Vaishnava Siddhantamala, this book was a crystallization of all the basic tenets of Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. So, by 1892, five parts of Vaishnava Siddhantamala were each republished separately in pamphlet form, specifically for Namahatta distribution. Pamphlet form. It is not a new thing that we are distributing pamphlets. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also did this. So in pamphlet form, he brought out this Vaishnava Siddhantamala. Now, the first gutti, or the part, first branch, was entitled Nava Prameya Siddhanta. So, Nava Prameya Siddhanta is the first part of Vaishnava Siddhantamala by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Here in the most vigorous philosophical presentation was made out of the five guttis. There are five guttis, means five sections, five chapters. The first one was full of very vigorous philosophical presentation of these nine pramayas. Utilizing the framework of Madhvacharya's nine navapramayas, explicit purports were presented regarding each of these pramayas in simple question-answer format. If possible, I'll get this thing printed and give it to tomorrow. Very, very wonderful, very beautiful. This, I read around seven, 8 years back, it came. I thought, if you just distribute this handout, this handout to all the devotees, you will save a lot of time and you will have early prasadam in Bhagavatam class, because there will be no questions. After the class, you ask any questions, somebody will ask a question and everybody should wait for prasadam. So I was having this deep realization that if you just distribute this handout, pamphlet, and if somebody will read and come, and after the Bhagavatam class, or any class rather, any questions, no questions. It's a great achievement, isn't it? Of course, if somebody asks a question, he's really like Parikshit Maharaj. That's the point. So it's a really interesting thing. Let me see if I can get the printout by tomorrow to you. This is known as Vaishnava Siddhantamala. So it's for Namahatta distribution. And then the first gutti entitled Navapravena Siddhanta, here in the most this is over. Yeah. In this way, Bhakti Vinod Thakur was simply simplifying systemizing Lord Chaitanya's teachings by drawing upon the authority of Pramana, he successfully demonstrating Mahaprabhu's strict adherence to the teachings of Brahma Madhva line. So here we'll try to talk about. So here there are two opinions, or two things. Some people, they say that we are not Madhvas. And some people will say we are Madhvas. Okay? So let us reconcile these two statements. Big contradiction. If you go to Gaudiya Mutt and ask, who are you? He says, we are Gaudiyas. They would never say we are Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. And yeah, you will never say that. They will never say that. Why? They quote a Pramana. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Udupi, the conversation between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Acharya at that time. The Acharya at that time is known as Raghuvara Tirtha. In that conversation, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed Tumar Sampradaya. He used this word. Tumar Sampradaya means what? By saying so, what did he say? That we are different from you. So it's a very famous. Whenever I meet somebody from Gaudiya Mutt, when I discuss something with him, they talk, you are Sampradaya. Tumar Sampradaya. That is not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We are distinct. So, Baladeva Vidyabhushan Prabhu, when he went to Jaipur, when that discussion, the famous discussion, you know, how he wanted to establish Radha Govind worship to be together, Radha and Krishna together worship. So, at that time, they asked him, what is your Sampradaya? Then he told, where is your commentary on Vedanta Sutra. Because until unless you have a commentary on Vedanta Sutra, the 12 major Upanishads and Vishnu Sahasranam and Bhagavad Gita. These are the four important scriptures on which you need to have a commentary to establish yourself as a sampradaya. If you don't have a commentary on these four books, you cannot be called as a sampradaya. So then ask, where is your commentary on Vedanta Sutra? Then Baldev Darshan Prabhu, we accept this this thing, Bhagavatam as a natural commentary. We don't require any darshan. Then he wrote. Another sampradaya was written, and when the commentary was written, of course, Govinda himself told this commentary. That is why he names this commentary as Govinda Bhashya. So when he was given, then again another objection was raised. Now tell me which sampradaya you belong to. Then he told, no, we are Gaudiyas. Then he told, in the scriptures there are only four sampradayas. See, somehow they wanted to defeat him. Then Baldev Darshan Prabhu, he told that we are Brahma Madhva Gaudiya sampradayas. Then they told, then why don't you accept Madhva Bhashya directly? If you are belonging to Madhva, why don't you accept this directly as Bhashya? So Baladev Vidyashan Prabhu had to go through a great argument and establish that we are connected to Madhvas at the same time non-Madhvas. So this Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva is applicable here also. not only to the Lord and the living entity. It is applicable everywhere. Even here also. Like you say, so depending on convenience, we say, you know, we are Madhvas or not. It is a very interesting subject. So neither we should go to that extreme of saying we are not Madhvas at all, neither we should go to the extreme of saying we are Madhvas. We should see that how we are at the same time not. How we are Madhvas? We are Madhvas because Baladev Vidyashan Prabhu, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, all the acharyas accepted Navaprameyas. This Navaprameyas and the Dashamul, or this Navaprameyas is the thing which actually connects us to Madhva, and it is because of Navaprameyas we are Madhvas. And now, how we are not Madhvas? It is because of Dashamul. It is because Dashamul we are not Madhvas. So it is because Navaprameyas we are Madhvas. It is because of Dashamul we are not Madhvas. So now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the first acharya in our line who has harmonized this point that how we are Madhvas at the same time not. What he did? He took the Navaprameyas of Madhvacharya, changed the order, and changed certain words, that we'll see what those words are, and added one thing. One thing which he added was Rasabdhim. Rasabdhim. Describing Krishna, he added this word Rasabdhi. As we go to the particular verse, we'll have a better understanding of what it is. But for now we should know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur took the same thing what Madhvacharya took and added a Gaudiya fragrance to it. By doing so, we are Madhvas at the same time not. To present ourselves, to present this particular confusion in a very technical way, we are, philosophically speaking, we are Madhvas, but the mood in which is Sarva Krishna is not Madhvas. The mood is different. The rasa is different. Now, if the mood is different, there should be some change in the philosophy also. Yes. The philosophy has been little bit oriented in such a way. We should not say changed. It has been oriented in such a way that will suit the rasa in which we serve Krishna. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, by writing Dashamul, he did not change the Prameyas. What did he do? He has oriented. That is what we can say. He has oriented the Navaprameyas in such a way that our mood in serving Krishna is being established. Okay. So, we'll go to the next line. Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, like, we came to 1892. We came up to 1892. First, it was established in 1866. Yeah, 66. After 66, 88. From 88 to 92. In the same year, In the same year, that is 1892, as his Namhatta publication work was taking place in 1892, Bhakti Vinod Thakur also published Sriman Mahaprabhu Siksha. He wrote one book, Sriman Mahaprabhu Siksha, in 11 chapters. This book fully explains Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Dashamula. So this Sriman Mahaprabhu Siksha, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Siksha, he wrote a book in Bengali language. In that he explained the entire Dashamula. The first chapter was a summary explanation, followed by 10 chapters of detailed explanation of each mula. Each philosophical conclusion was supported with profuse Shastric quotations, accompanied by Bengali prose translation explanation. This is book in Bengali. So this is Sriman Mahaprabhu Siksha. This is where you will find a very elaborate explanation. It contains 11 chapters. The first chapter is a summary explanation. That means the listing of the Dashamula. And each mula, he had written one verse and then given an explanation. That means 10 plus 1, that became 11. The following year, that means in 1893, Jaiva Dharma was produced. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur produced this Jaiva Dharma, very famous book, Jaiva Dharma. Many devotees know this book, but somebody have read also. Jaiva Dharma was produced. Now in Jaiva Dharma, ranging from chapter number 13 to 20, 13 Sanskrit shlokas were completely introduced. Dashamula was discussed in detail. So now this is how Dashamula became more and more elaborate. So the most elaborate description of Dashamula you will find in Jaiva Dharma, chapters 13 to 20. Now this time Bhaktivinoda Thakur presented the elements of Dashamula along with other truths in tears, rigorous sutra-like format. So I'll be talking more about Jaiva Dharma later, but for now we should understand Jaiva Dharma is a very elaborate book. And it is presented in such a way, it's like conversation. In the conversation, when somebody asks a question, answer is given. Question, answer is given. So in this way, it becomes very easy for people to understand. Now, in 1896, two direct expositions of Dashamula were produced under the titles Sri Gauranga Leela Smaranamangala Shotram and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Life and Prospects. We know Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote one stotra about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Gauranga Leela Smaranamangala Stotram. In that, starting from 74th verse, I suppose. Let me just check later. 74th verse to 83rd or 85th verse. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he mentions these things again. And then, the former was in a Sanskrit and included the verbatim of the same 13 shlokas as discussed in Jaiva Dharma. The latter was written in English and appeared in 47-page introduction to the Sanskrit writing. The text of Sri Chaitanya Leela Mangala Stotram had Sanskrit commentary entitled Vikashini Tika, written by Srikant Vichaspati. Srikant Vichaspati, there was one great disciple. He, of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he gave a very elaborate commentary on this particular thing called Sri Gauranga Leela Smaranamangala Stotram, which contained this Dashamula verses. And this was published by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in its entirety along with all the stotras in this work. Now, later in 1900, means now we are reached till 1896, that is appearance day of Prabhupada, appearance year of Prabhupada. In 1900, Harinam Chintamani revealed Dashamula in chapter 7. In Harinam Chintamani, he has put this thing in chapter 7. And in 1901, Srimad Bhagavat Arka Marichi Mala, Bhagavat Arka Marichi Mala appeared, expounding upon the most of the mulas in separate chapters. extensively listing Srimad Bhagavatam shlokas corresponding to each mula and accompanied by relevant commentary written by Thakur himself. This is the last. That is Srimad Bhagavata Arka Marichimala. We can safely claim that Bhaktivinoda Thakur came to use this term Dashamula as synonymous with the notion of Mahaprabhu's teaching, consistently utilizing the nomenclature Dashamul in this way. So, in this way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he actually spoke about Dashamul only throughout in all his books. Even there is one book called Krishna Samhita, which is a little bit debatable book. Because this Krishna Samhita Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he gave these Dashamulas that even when a Gaudiya reads this, you will not understand. These are Dashamulas. It is something like BI. If you hear a class given by Bhagavatam class also, given by a devotee from BI, what is he speaking? Is he speaking Bhagavatam or what? We will not be able to understand, isn't it? They will be speaking electron, proton or something like that. It's true. They will be speaking all these things, but you will not be able to understand. Is he speaking Bhagavatam or something else? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur had to deal with a kind of audience, very difficult audience. These audience are pseudo-Vedic philosophers. Means they claim themselves to be Vedic philosophers, but their mentality is British. British means Western. Western mentality. So they were educated by the in the British schools. They are completely brainwashed by the Britishers. But there, they would wear dhoti kurta, they would put tilak, they would worship saligram, and they would do yajnas also, and they would talk about Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, everything they would talk. They were great scholars also. But within their heart, they are having Western philosophical contamination. So now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur had to deal with them. How you can deal with them? You will go and say, you become a disciple, you will not become a disciple. They will be great scholars. So he has to write something which is so scholarly, which is appealing to them, number one. At the same time, he should not compromise. And they should feel he is talking the same thing what we are speaking. So it requires great intelligence than them. So he wrote certain books, especially one is called Krishna Samhita, which is such a powerful book that even a person who is so contaminated like that, like Raja Ramahan Rai or some kind of crazy people whom you don't know, many of you don't know the names, but they are very dangerous people who actually practically destroyed India. Because I'll just speak 2 minutes about this, about independence and before independence thing, because it's very important to know how the Westerners destroy Vedic culture. If a Westerner would come and say something, they would not hear from them. So what they created? They created Westerner in the Indian body. And that is how the whole Vedic culture was destroyed. It is not the Westerners who destroyed this culture in India, in this land. It was actually the Indians who destroyed it. How did it destroy it? When they were sent to these colleges and schools, and when they learned and they came up with big scholarship, they were known as scholars. When they spoke Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam and Veda, people had to accept, yeah, what you are saying is truth. Now Bhaktivinoda Thakur had the greatest task, biggest task. As much as Prabhupada's fundamental audience were the scientists, and he just told them, you are rascals and fools, he could tell them, because they are really grossly rascals. But these people are subtly rascals, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur was dealing with these subtle rascals. And he had a particular way of doing so. So even in Krishna Samhita also, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the entire plot was this Dashamul. The entire plot. But you cannot really find out he is speaking Dashamul there. So that is why this particular thing is not mentioned in this particular introduction. But Krishna Samhita, I had an opportunity to read Krishna Samhita about many years back when I was reading Bhaktivinoda Thakur's book. When I was reading, I was to find, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has a plot. Has some plot behind it, isn't it? Like our youth preaching in India or something like that. There's some plot. They'll be speaking something, but there is something intention behind it, something else, isn't it? Like our Indradhanu Maharaj, he does some festivals in, you know. But the plot is, and they think it is another festival, is okay, making us dance or doing something. They don't see it to be spiritual. But they are like hardcore preachers. They don't preach those people who come genuinely for spirituality. They preach those people who don't want spirituality, don't want to act spirituality. So in this way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur even used this Dashamool as a plot, even in Krishna Samhita, to target these audience also. In this way, we have this Dashamool introduction. So I think I've done for today's first session, but more elaboration, if you have any questions, please ask. You have got 15 minutes more. Yes. Yes, true. Yes, yes, yes. Greed. 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 Yes. Greed. 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 Yeah. Yeah. Basically, free will is the main thing. But when you see the immediate cause is the greed. Greed. Yeah, heavy greed. Yes, yes. Greed. Greed. A Brahmin is supposed to live without... He is not supposed to take salary. And now the Britishers and the Westerners, they made these Brahmins to take salary. Once you take salary, then gone. You cannot speak truth. You have to speak what is spoken by the person who is giving money. That is the thing.
Like there's a saying, you know, devil cannot influence you as long as you don't open to him.
Yes. That's true. True. So, any more questions?
And all the questions, sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
It's about Dana Shiksham
Rita. Yeah, same. Two books here.
Two books.
Yeah, one is, the first one is Chaitanya Shikshamrita, yeah. Where he initially mentioned. And then, later on, he wrote one book in Bengali. That is Sriman Mahaprabhu Sikha. That is the later part of it. See, Chaitanya Shikshamrita was the first book written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. That was when he was just about 26 year old or something like that. It was in 1866. And 20 years later, this book came up. That is Vaishnava Siddhantamala, when he wanted to establish Dhamhatta and all these things. So that is how the chronology goes like that. So any further things? Krishna Samhita. Yeah, one of his. That is the book when he was actually a lawyer as a magistrate, because that is the time when Arya Samaj and Brahma Samaj was so much deeply taking its ground in Bengal. So that is the reason he had to write that. One of the earlier books. So even some, when I feel so sad, when even some devotees who are so-called scholars also, they would say, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, gradually he became a Gaudiya. Because they even show this book and that book, and at the end, you know, then became a Babaji and all these things. By no, we know him, that he's a liberated soul, is Kamala Manjari. Yeah. So anything?
Actually, I can't say he's actually gradually became what is Nitya Sita, but as a history, he showed the way how he actually became.
That is their argument, but it is false. Why? Bhaktivinoda Thakur cannot write anything which is against Mahaprabhu's teachings. Cannot write anything which is against Mahaprabhu's teachings. That is what it is shown. That is what is shown. Like, yes, that is the time I understood. Earlier I was a Kali Bhakta, and now I understood Krishna is Supreme Lord. That is what is shown. That is what is shown. That's all. But it is not truth. Vijnana Bhujai, Vaishnavaira Kriya Mudra. Like Prabhupada asked some of his disciples, what is your opinion? It is like that. What is your opinion? He is asking, what is your opinion? Yeah, is it that he doesn't know that? It's like that. to encourage or addict. There may be different purposes for that, like that. So, any yes, Prabhu.
Something about that you know, explain how Vaishnava Siddhanta was literally thrown apart and that's when Ramanujacharya.
Yes.
You are also given to understand about Ramanujacharya. He
commented
on this Vishishta Advaita, which is
yes.
Of this.
Yes. In the Prabhupada's commentary on Chaitanya Charitamrita, in discussion between Prakashan and Sarasvati and Sri Mahaprabhu, in that time, at that particular, in one of the purports, Srila Prabhupada writes, and Srila Prabhupada is translating what Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur wrote. He said, Acharyas like Sripad Madhvacharya and Ramanujacharya, they made these Vedantists as Vidantis by kicking on their teeth, on their tooth. By kicking on their tooth, they made these Vedantis into Vidanti. Vidanti means no dant, no tooth. They are calling themselves as... So we'll be touching this aspect, maybe tomorrow or the afternoon, talk about Shakti. We have to bring all the Vaishnava Acharyas because... So when you can see Ramanujas, specific... Actually these four Acharyas, all the four Acharyas, their one of the duties was to destroy different aspects of Mayavad. Different aspects of Mayavad. But the most horrible aspect of Mayavad was destroyed by Madhvacharya. That is why his name comes first. Because he is a person who actually made this Mayavad building completely like destroyed. Like you see one thing, like there's somebody comes and you want to, there's something, some tree or something. Somebody goes on cutting. The last one who comes and pushes it and then falls down. The credit goes to him actually. Though others are all there in line. But, isn't it? You go on cutting the tree and one person comes and then just hits and it falls down. And the world saw the entire Mayavad collapsing after Madhva. After Madhva, that is what saw. So that's why he is credited more for. So that is why these Mayavadis, they are not so much afraid as of Sri Vaishnavas, as much as Madhvas. They are very afraid. Even now down south, when the Madhvacharya, Madhva Sampradaya, they are supposed to take up the Pariyaya, means next term of taking care of the Krishna Mat. So they go for Digvijay Yatra. Still they go. They go for Digvijay Yatra, different towns, and then they advertise in the newspapers these days. Anybody who can come and defeat it will give 1 lakh rupees to them. And at that time when they are coming, it has become a system that some of the Mayavadi sannyasis or somebody, they run away from that. No, at that when Madhva Swamiji's come, nobody would hold any discourses or anything during that time. It's still prevalent in some cities in Karnataka. It's become a tradition like that. It is so. So Ramanuja has done, of course, that is, you have to accept it. He has done a particular aspect of it. We'll discuss what particular aspect was it when it comes to that particular section of Shaktim, Sarva Shaktiman, like that. Yeah. Yes, definitely. That is what Mahaprabhu's plan was. Yes. Evolution. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes, that's the topmost. That's true. That is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did in Navadvip. He gave 4 instructions to 4 Acharyas. Means 8 instructions. He gave 2 to each and took them back. And he gave specific instructions to 4. Based on that, you make the Siddhanta and I'll come and take it. It is there. That comes in one of the notes, you will get it at a particular point. Yes?
So this format now only come out together with the Govinda Bhashya or separately
after, later? After that. Separate. It has a separate book. Now, since you raised the point, Govinda Bhashya, because certain things I don't speak because when questions come, I'll speak about it. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, after writing this Dashamool, he thought that okay, I have given it for a common man, ordinary man can understand what are prameyas, what is pramana and what is prameya. But if a scholar comes, who knows Vedanta? If a scholar comes, who knows the Vedanta Sutras? In and out to them. He told, okay, I'll write another book. Another set of three books. Not another book, another set of three books. They are known as Tattva Sutras, Tattva Vivek, Amne Sutras. These three books of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they are one set only. So the entire Vedanta Sutra presented in three books. Entire set of Vedanta Sutras presented in three books. Now, in Vedanta Sutra, there are basically two subjects. One is Swamata Sthapana, other is Paramata Khandana. Swamata Sthapana means what? Anybody can say? Little bit Sanskrit, somebody knows. Establishing one's own philosophy. Swam means ours. Mata means opinion or philosophy. Establishment of one's own philosophy is known as Swamata Sthapana. Another one is what? Paramata Khandana. Others, philosophy being destroyed. So, in Tattva Sutras, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has established this Swamata Sthapana. Tattva Sutras has got 5 chapters, 10 sutras each, total 50 sutras. Those who want to study Bhagavatam from the Vedanta point of view have to study Tattva Sutras. At present in Bhaktiveva, you are not doing study of Bhagavatam from the Vedanta point of view. If you want to study Bhagavatam from the Vedanta point of view, then Tattva Sutras, I would write it, all 50 here, and then only you study Bhagavatam, like that. A little bit critical study. Like we are still our ordinary people, so we'll try to do Bhagavatam in a simple way. One is a study, other is a critical study. We are talking about systematic study. Vedanta means critical study. When you do this critical study, we are talking about defeating the Mayavadis, isn't it? When you do normal study, you can defeat Mayavadis. If you do critical study, you can dissect the Mayavadis. you defeat them, you take them, you dissect them, throw into pieces and apart from apart. Like that. So these Tattva Sutras are like that. And then there is Tattva Vivek. Means defeating Tattva Vivek. This Tattva Vivek, this book is Paramata Khandana. Paramata Khandana means what? Defeating all the antagonistic philosophies you have, you bring everything. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has done that. He talks about defeats Jains, he defeats Buddhists. What Vedanta Sutras Vyasa has done in 20, 30 sutras, Bhaktivinoda Thakur does it in one line. He does it in one line. When I gave this book, Tattva, these three books actually, to one of Sanskrit college principal. He's a very good philosopher and close friend. Of course, he is having a big confusion in philosophy between Mayavada and all these things. So when I gave this book, he told, who wrote this? I told Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I was giving introduction. He told he was a district magistrate and all. Impossible. He told, this work must be at least 1,000 years old. At least 1,000 years old, because the level of intellect these days nobody can write. Because he's a Sanskrit scholar, he knows what is the language also has its quality. It degrades as the time goes by, isn't it? He knows the writings which were 1,000 years old, 100 years old, the present writings. So it cannot be. When I give Dashamol to him, and he read those verses in Dashamuni. He is a Sanskrit, he can understand directly. The way it is written, it cannot be in the recent times. It cannot be in the recent times. Told, yes, I showed his photograph. I had to convince him to show that this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur he wrote. So when he said he's a seventh Goswami, it is not just a lip talk. He is that. That's true. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he told this Bhagavat Arka Marichi Mala, written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, is the best commentary on Bhagavatam. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's own statement. That is the best commentary on Bhagavatam. 20 chapters, simple discussions of Bhagavatam, that's all. This Bhagavat Arka Marichi Mala is actually explaining Dashamul only, based on verses of Bhagavatam. Now, Bhagavatam is the sun. So how do you understand the presence of the sun? Through the sun rays. Arka means rays. Arka Marichi Mala means the rays of the sun. So even the sun's presence is felt by sun rays. We all know sun reveals everything. But who reveals the sun? Sun rays reveals it. So in this way, he's explained in that way. That is the speciality of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's thing. Now we spoke about two books. That is, one is what? Tattva Vivek and Tattva Sutras. And the third one is Amneya Sutras. So whatever you speak, you cannot just speak from the air. You have support for it. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he takes from different scriptures and then he establishes the philosophy. Quotations. In Amneya Sutras, you only find quotations. That Upanishad, this word, this Bhagavatam, that Purana is only quotations you'll find. So that's the whole thing about it.
But he had to defeat, he had to prove this point in the discussion. But he wrote the book later.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. He had to. So, any more questions?
One more question.
Yeah.
If you read Prabhupada's books, I'm sure he would have incorporated some aspects of this also.
I have one book in which one devotee has done a lot of effort to get what Prabhupada, where Prabhupada has done this kind of thing. And, this book only, yeah. VAHE Manual, Dashamul Study Guide. it says that lessons. The lessons of Dashamula as taught by His Divine Grace, Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada. Hari is the one without second. He quoted some verses from Prabhupada purports. Purports, quotations he has given. Of course, it's like an informative thing. Dashamul, Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, second canto, like that it is there. But what else can be there other than Dashamul? You may find some sentence, you may find it to be one of the mools. That is what you could find. You should understand, like in the mathematics solution, solution to mathematics problem, can any solution come without any formula? To go to the next step, you have to have a formula. To go to the next step, you have to have a formula. So, Srila Prabhupada's purports are like solution to the problem in the verse. There is no problem in the verse. That means you have a problem in the verse. You cannot understand it. So to understand that, that is what purport. So at every step there is a Dashamul verse. At every step there is. It goes one by one. So, nice work also, but it is like just in the paper only. It cannot just in this verse Prabhupada says that, in that verse Prabhupada says that. And it's more information. But if you want to know the rule, whenever any commentary is written, there is a particular procedure. And when Acharya is writing commentary, that procedure is spontaneous. So what is the procedure? This is Dashamul. It's like formulas. And then explain that. Like you have Bhagavatam verses which sometimes talks directly about Mayavad. How do you explain that? Do Dashamul. That's the thing. Okay, so we stop here. After lunch, we'll meet at 3:30. Is okay for all of you? These timings are okay? So we'll meet at 3:30. Then we'll do the first verse and we'll see how to go about. You should.